And welcome back to the programme. And now we're heading off to Parnell's GAA Club, where this afternoon, well, from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock today, there's the Education for All Fair, which is taking place. And we're joined by John Healy. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Conor, and thank you for the link. We're down here in Parnell, the Education Fair. And as you can hear, it's very, very busy.
Great.
And, I'm looking around here, and it's getting bigger and bigger every year. And I have with me now Paul Hayes from the Northside Partnership, and Paul is one of the organisers here. Good afternoon, Paul.
How you doing, John?
Tell us a little bit about it. As I said, it's getting bigger and bigger every year. It must be getting harder and harder to organise.
Yeah, very much so. There's a lot of components to organising it. I think this is about the sixth year now we've run the Education for North Dublin, and it seems to be going from strength to strength. We seem to have, you know, today we have about 40 different education providers here today, sort of letting young people know about their different courses and what they're doing. And we also have, I think we have about 20 different schools from around the area who are booked in today at different times to come along with their kids to let their kids see exactly what's on offer in education in Dublin.
And I know there's a few unusual ones around, like the Defence Forces are here.
Yeah, but the Defence Forces are here and the Air Corps is here as well. And we just thought, you know, a lot of young people would have an interest in these particular areas, and we felt maybe that the young people around the area would greatly benefit from you know, having the Defence Forces and the Air Corps here.
Yes, as a sort of a job to go into.
Yeah, and I think at the moment, I know I was talking to the Defence Forces, they had mentioned to me that they are actually recruiting from the Defence Force Reserves at the moment, so it's an opportunity for some young person, you know.
Okay, and we're going to talk to some of the people who are exhibiting now at the moment. I think our next guest is Michael O'Neill, and he's guidance counsellor from St. Paul's College in Raheny. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Michael. Michael O'Neill, yes.
And you're guidance counsellor.
I am a guidance teacher in St. Paul's College in Raheny.
Just tell the listeners what that entails, Paul.
At the moment, it entails working with them 6 years and getting them to think about careers and their future educational opportunities. For many of the pupils in our school, most of them go on to some form of third level.
Okay, and what do you think is the education fair here now, and how it benefits students?
Events like these are highly important for students. I know there's the higher options in Ballsbridge for the senior students, but for pupils in transition year, it is vital that they're introduced to what their educational opportunities and begin planning, even in transition year, for where they might be going.
A transition year is a very interesting year, but a lot of people used to think in the old days that it was sort of a rest year, but this isn't the case, sure, Michael.
I think some major psychological changes happen in transition year. It's a growing up phase, and every pupil in fifth year has to answer the question, why am I studying? It doesn't matter whether they do transition year or not, but I think that's the task of the 16-year-old. And transition years sometimes give them a chance to explore around, take a look, what am I interested in, where do I think I might be going. And probably their first chance to do this in transition years when they have to choose subjects for the Leaving Cert itself. And then they begin thinking, right, why do I need physics, why do I need this?
And it also, work experience is part of the transition year as well.
Yeah, I discovered work experience has been invaluable to the transition year pupils. For many of them, it gives them the beginning of an anchor in career choice. And many of them look to their work experience as the beginning of their thinking about careers.
St. Paul's College is one of our local colleges. And can you just give us a little bit about the history of the college?
St. Paul's College Secondary Voluntary School has been around for 60 years. It developed here with the encouragement of the Archbishop of Dublin to open a secondary school in the then-expanding north side when Kilfenan and Raheny were at that stage only fields. They later became housing estates, and most of our pupils in the 50s and 60s came from the Kilfenan, Raheny, Howth, all that area out along there.
And then, can I tell you a little bit about the success that you've seen?
We've been largely a typical secondary school where well over half our students would think about going on to university. A slight change in recent years in that the local PLC colleges here have offered an opportunity as well to a lot of other kids. And in the past, there were some pupils who went into apprenticeships. But I think we all know what happened to the world of apprenticeships over the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, we won't go into that.
Yeah. So, anything that you'd like to add, would you like to give out some details, contact details for...
Oh, it's for St. Paul's College. St. Paul's College has a website at www.stpaulscollege.ie, right? Contact details, like numbers are on that, right? And every year, like other schools, we receive all applicants.
Okay, is there anything you'd like to add now?
No, there isn't.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Michael.
And
our next guest is... Okay, our next guest is Jimmy Haylett, and a press office with the Irish Air Corps.
Okay.
Good, welcome, Jimmy. Just tell us a little bit about the reasons why you're here at this education fair.
Good afternoon. Well, we were invited out here by Paul just to give a representation on behalf of the Irish Air Corps, and just in relation to recruits, apprentices, and cadetships, and just about the entry level and what's required about actually joining the Irish Air Corps and about joining the Irish Defence Forces as well.
So it's not really an educational thing, it's more of a recruitment drive, is it, by the Air Corps?
Well, the Irish Defence Forces are always actively recruiting, whether it's cadets, training technicians or apprentices or recruits, and particularly with the Irish Naval Service as well. They recently had an intake, but we also talk about the entry requirements, what's required about becoming a cadet in the Irish Air Corps, becoming a trainee technician in the Irish Air Corps, and just about recruitment in general, and just what's required as regards leaving Sir Stannard, as regards college as well, college points.
Just tell us a little bit about the students, like you said, leaving Sir Stannard and stuff like that, and you mentioned apprenticeships. So what sort of apprenticeships would be available to students?
Well, particularly in the Irish Air Corps out in Baldonnell, there's the training technician scheme, and the entry level is a minimum of 350 points. And once an applicant is successful and is awarded a place, they'll spend 4 years training. At the end of the 4 years, they'll be given a degree in aviation technology. On the off foot of that, then, they're required to do an additional 5 years as part of a service contract then with the Irish Air Corps.
And this of course would lead on to employment and very, very good employment.
Well, it could possibly, it would actually, but however, we find that a lot of applicants actually stay with us for 20 odd years, maybe even 30 odd years, because they actually enjoy working out with us. It's quite a diverse environment, and there's a lot of opportunities that we actually offer a lot of applicants then as well.
So is this your first year to attend the education fair?
No, this is my second year. Last year was my first time that I was here, and Paul was very helpful towards ourselves, and then we engaged with the other industry leaders here then as well, so we're all pitching the same message.
Now, what sort of feedback did you get last year?
Well, the feedback was very positive. We got a lot of follow-up emails, and we got a lot of messages from our Facebook account as well, which Irish Air Corps. We got a lot of requests for tours and for one-to-one interviews as well, and also interview requests where we actually help a lot of people when they come in. They get to go and meet some of the trainee technicians or some of the pilots as well, and they'll actually help them with the interview process as well.
Okay, well, listen, the best of luck. I'll let you go back to your desk, because it's very, very busy, as the listeners can hear. Thanks very much for talking to us today.
Well, thanks very much for your time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And as you can hear now, we're very, very busy. And we're going to talk now to Denise Anderson, who is Trinity Access Programme Ambassador. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, thank you very much for coming down and calling to us. Just to explain to the listeners what you're all about and what you're doing here at this fair.
Okay, I'm here today to talk to students about the Trinity Access Programme, which is, I'm describing two routes that can get students from areas that wouldn't have a high percentage of students going to third level education. So I'm here to help the students who think that they can't go to Trinity College because of their income levels or where they're from or what school they go to. We actually have two routes, a Trinity Access Programme Foundation course, which is 1 year that students can do. So say they don't get the points, they don't know what they want to do, they can do this foundation course for 1 year on subjects that they like. They take assessments through the year and they do an exam. And then based on their grade at the end of the year, they can apply to courses in Trinity College. The other route that I talk about is the HEAR scheme, and it's the Higher Education Access route, which is a route I came in myself. I am a student of Trinity College. This route offers places to students on reduced points. And all of these routes are for students at, from disadvantaged backgrounds. I'm actually from the area myself. I come here because I am very ambitious, and I would like to give students inspiration so that they know that Trinity isn't this big impossible university just because of what people think about it, think that it's for people who are wealthy, who are from areas such as Dublin core. They can come to it no matter where they're from, and it's accessible to all students. And once they get in there, they should not feel that they don't belong, because everybody belongs.
When you find confidence in a student, like students from disadvantaged areas, I don't like using the word disadvantaged areas, but would you find their confidence would be not as high as people from a different background?
Yes, definitely. I find that students just don't believe that they can attend Trinity College. They look at my table and their eyes light up and they say, oh, I can't go there, and it's not the case at all. They have this idea that the points and the requirements for Trinity College are far too high compared to other universities, but that's not the case at all. They can get there, and if they don't get the points or if they don't fail, they can. There's always help there for them to try getting to college. We are trying to expand the range of students that come to Trinity and make it a more diverse place for students. So we find that it's beneficial for Trinity and for the students in Trinity to get students from disadvantaged backgrounds or from whatever background it is, because it just makes a better environment for us to study in.
You mentioned there when students approach your staff that their eyes light up. And what sort of feedback do you get from the students both last year and this year?
I get amazing feedback from them, because they see me as a student now in fourth year who came through the HEAR Access route, and they see that it is possible for a student to not only get into Trinity but go through their three years now and into their fourth year. And you can just see that I've given them inspiration and confidence, and they always go away and they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to apply to that. So they have confidence a little bit more than they had when they came in.
That's fantastic. So do you see yourself down the line working with young people to get them into education, or would you like working with young people?
I do. I love it, especially those from disadvantaged backgrounds. That's what I'm from. I could see myself working with them for definite. I love giving inspiration to them, and I just want them all to know that they can come to Trinity and have a good career for themselves.
That's fantastic, Denise. And thank you very much for talking to us today. Have you anything else? Would there be contact numbers or a website or anything you'd like to?
The Trinity Access Program has a website. You just have to Google Trinity Access Program, and you can also look at the courses that are available to students when you look up Trinity online. There's phone numbers and email addresses for those working in the Trinity Access Program, who are always happy to help people.
Okay, Denise. Listen, thank you very much for talking to me this morning. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Now we're going to talk to our next guest. Our next guest is Carol Conway, and she's coordinator for Young Community Leaders. Carol, good afternoon.
Hi. How are you?
Just tell us a little bit about that. What you're doing? What your job is? And you're looking very happy. So I'd say you're very happy in your work.
I think it's part of the job description. So I coordinate the Young Community Leaders course, which is run by the Northside Partnership, and it's a leadership course for anybody between the ages of 16 and 25. It's an evening course that you can do it whether you're at school or at college or at work. It's about one evening a week from September to June, and about 9 Saturdays or weekend days. And we've produced almost 100 young leaders over the past 4 years working in this community across the Northside area.
And what sort of work would they be doing? You're talking leadership and leaders, and like, what would they actually be leading?
Well, so the curriculum is a mixture. In terms of the work they do in the course, they build their own personal confidence and skills. They get a FETAC Level 6 accreditation certificate in youth leadership and community action. And then they do community action projects. So you'll have seen family fun days around the area, which have been run by our young people over the last 4 years. They've done one-to-one digital, which is where young people coach older people in how to use their smartphones or their tablets to Skype their grandkids or book their plane tickets. You'll have seen young people work in schools where they've run multicultural awareness week, disability awareness activities. They choose what they're interested in, and they use the leadership skills where they want to.
Well, teaching about IT to all the people, that's a fascinating thing. You mentioned Skype. But in this day and age, an awful lot of children and grandchildren are gone abroad. So for grandparents, they support their grandchildren and their children. It's fantastic. What do you think of that?
It's brilliant. And really what's clever about it is you're taking a skill that is native to people who are under 25 and that is alien to people who are over 50. And you're using those skills to share knowledge and expertise. And the older people who got involved absolutely loved it. In fact, they said they would pay those young people to come and help them more when they're buying new devices, when they're trying to make choices about devices. So there's a huge opportunity to share that skill set between the generations.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's a very diverse program you're running, the different leadership qualities. What do you find is the most popular one?
I think one of the pieces that has really drawn people's attention, so individuals come in for different reasons. Some of them have done leadership before, maybe in youth clubs or maybe in scouts or guides. Some of them haven't tried that out before. What a lot of people really enjoy is the interactive stuff. So there's been a lot of interest in family fun days, running activities, running games. We've had a team who ran an event at Father Collins Park a couple of years ago, in Eden Moor last year, in Kilbarrack. So right, and that's as well, you might be surprised. People older than I are surprised sometimes that young people want to give back, but they really do. So young people who've grown up in communities where they felt they didn't have good stuff to do are really keen to use those skills and contribute back to their own community. So they're very willing, once they're given the space and the skills and the opportunity, to get involved locally and do stuff that's going to make a difference.
We're talking about fundraisers for charities and different organisations.
They've done a bit of that too the first year. So once they finish their certificate in June, they're free to leave, but most of them don't. Many of them stay involved as our graduate network of young community innovators. And the first year, one of the projects they undertook was to charity fundraise. And they picked the local charity, the Evenness Women's Refuge, and they went out and ran a fundraiser event to contribute back to that cause. So they are really keen to do things that make a difference in their community. And some of them have gone on to do more formal leadership. We have people sitting on the board of Sphere 17, the Regional Youth Service. We have a graduate sitting on the board of the Community Training Centre in Darndale. We had somebody sitting on the advisor group in Clóiste Bhuilig. So a lot of them are really getting to use their leadership in very meaningful ways, where previously maybe those of us who were around the table couldn't see young people as having the skills to sit at those tables. But you give them a little bit of skill, they're very willing.
Near FM is a local community radio station, and we're involved with local communities and a lot of the organisations you just mentioned there. This is very fulfilling for you to see the young people going out and getting them to all this.
Absolutely. Oh, it's brilliant. I love it. I mean, that's why I'm smiling. Because 5 years in, we have 100 young people, so many of them engaged in so many different ways. A few of them worked with you last year in Near FM, did a bit of a project there to develop their media skills and create a video promoting awareness about women being trafficked into prostitution. I mean, the subject range is vast that they take an interest in, but I love it. They've just elected student reps in the second year group in Clóiste Bhuilig in the social care course. There's 3 student reps from that class. All of them are graduates of our programme. So I love to see that kind of progression, where young people come to it with a willingness and an interest, but they go away and they use those skills really in ways that support their peers and their communities.
So for any students that aren't here today, as I said, there's very few out there who haven't been here at some stage, are there contact details, or how do they get in touch, or how do they get involved?
Definitely. So we're already taking any expressions of interest for September 2016. You can email ycl@nspartnership.ie, or if you go onto the Northside Partnership website, you'll get all the contact information there as well. All you need to do is drop us an email, give us your name, and we'll follow up.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very, very much. And I'll say it again, you're very, very happy looking, and you're very, you enjoy your work.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, next up now, we have Siobhan English. She's from the Agricultural Training. Barbara. I can't read what's on the sheet here, so will you tell the listeners actually who you are and what you are? You just tell the listeners who you are and who you're representing.
Okay, yeah, my name is Siobhan. I'm representing Harper Adams. It's an agriculture college based in the UK. We're about 30 minutes from Birmingham Airport. It's one of the largest agriculture colleges in England, offering a wide range of courses for students. It's the agriculture, food studies, food science, veterinary nursing, veterinary physiotherapy, and engineering, agricultural engineering and off-road engineering, which is particularly appealing to those interested in pursuing a career with tractors and with large equipment, farming equipment.
Do you get much good feedback from events like this?
Yes, indeed. No, it's been a very busy morning. A lot of students interested in veterinary nursing in particular, and also veterinary physiotherapy, because they realise that their options in Ireland are very limited. Of course, in England, we have approximately 3,000 students in England, and the uptake on veterinary nursing is very, very big every year. But they realise that their options are much wider if they decide to do study in the UK.
And you mentioned nursing there. Our government now at the moment is a big push on to recruit a lot more nurses now because it's a dire need.
Yeah. No, it's veterinary nursing that we're actually involved in. We don't do actually human nursing.
Sorry about that. So is there much scope out there for veterinary nursing?
Absolutely. As I was talking to some students yesterday, I said every household nearly has a dog now. And veterinary clinics are, growing rapidly. Most clinics would have up to 6 or 7 vets at a time. And veterinary nurses are, may play a huge part in every veterinary practice throughout the world, and in England, there's veterinary practices, scattered, widespread throughout England, and some practices have up to 10 nurses and 10 veterinary vets on site. So, the employment opportunities for veterinary nursing is huge.
That's fantastic. And what sort of feedback now are you getting here today?
Yeah, very interested students coming in this morning, in particular in veterinary nursing, veterinary physiotherapy, young girls that no, they're not going to get the points to do veterinary studies themselves, which are one of the highest points demand. So they realise that veterinary nursing would be the next option. There's a lot of interest this morning.
Okay, for any students that aren't here at the moment, would you have any contact details and how to get involved?
Absolutely. Harper Adams is the name of the college. We're based 30 minutes from Birmingham Airport, which is only an hour from Dublin. It's almost as quick from Birmingham to Dublin as it is from Cork. So if they log on to Harper Adams website, and all the details will be there.
What about digs for the students? I know there's a lot of complaints in this country about the cost of
that. Yes, I mean, the cost of studying in England, especially at Harper Adams, is a stumbling block, but there are loans available for students, which will cover the maintenance grant. There's the maintenance grant as well, which will also cover their accommodation. There's a wide range of accommodation options on-site and off-site in Harper Adams, so there's never a problem.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much for talking today. Thank you. And now we're going to talk to Rebecca, Eva, Katie from St. Mary's in Chelester. Good afternoon, girls.
Hiya.
You are?
Eva. Katie.
Rebecca.
Okay, and you're down here and you're after been walking around. What do you think of the fair, the education fair? Go to you first.
I think it's really valuable for us at this stage because we're in 6 years, so we need to see the options that are out there for us, so it's been really helpful.
And are you going to go on to higher education?
Yeah, I plan on going on and doing a degree in law, so stuff like this is very useful to see what my options are.
And what about yourself?
I'm hoping to go into law as well. I thought this was really helpful because there's plenty of stands there that'll help you. You know, you go up and you tell them what you want to do. They have loads of information on the course and stuff like that, so it's really good.
Yourself, have you found it there?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I think it's good, the wide range of things they have. So they have things like here and there and different ways to get into college as well as the actual colleges. And the fact that they're not just standing there, like, feeding the information, like, you ask them specific things. It's not as if it's just one person talking generally. So you can ask them like, specific things. So it's really good that way.
Well, I was surprised to see some of the stands here, in particular the Defence Forces. Were you surprised to see stands like that?
Yeah, but it's still another route that you can go after school, so it's kind of not just like giving you like PLCs and tour levels, it's giving you other options that you can do after school as well.
Okay, and did you find any standards that would make you change your mind as to going into law?
I'm kind of on the fence there too, courses, and they have a psychology stand over beside GCU, and I've talked to them, and that's really interesting to me, so I'm still not sure.
Okay, well, listen, girls, thanks very much for talking. I'm delighted that you enjoyed the education fair. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, that's about it. Connor, as you can hear, it's very, very busy.
Yeah, it sounds like a great morning down there, John.
It is. It's fantastic. And students are coming in and going out, and I was talking to the organiser there, and he was saying that he had to turn some students away this morning because it was so full.
Right, okay. But that, you know.
So, it's a pity you have to turn them away, but there you go.
Well, look,
you have to arrive in your appointed time. So back to you then, Connor.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that. I'm sure we'll see you back in the studio when you get back. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Cheers, thanks,
later.
John.
Bye-bye.
Bye.